So those words from Isaiah, I want to start with Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. It's pure poetry. You've got to love the poetry of the Bible, haven't you? And just because it's poetry doesn't mean that it's not filled with truth. It doesn't mean that it's all pie in the sky, as some people think poetry is. Well, it's not. And this is prophetic poetry, which is rooted in the words and the actions of God. Words and actions which have been proved to be true time and time again. And these words were no exception. The Lord did indeed prove himself to be the Redeemer, the one who rescued his people from Babylonian captivity, the one who rescued his people from slavery in Egypt, and who formed a way through the sea, a dry land through the sea. So these words came to pass and were true. They were rooted in the truth of who God is and what God had done in the past. But he says, forget all that. There are new things ahead. And the Lord tells us, the poem tells us that the Lord is going to do a new thing. Israel was to forget the former things. And just because the Lord's salvation had looked like that in the past didn't mean it would always be like that. And I think what we might take from that is that life is a series of letting go of old ways and embracing new things, or dying to old things and rising to new ways. Letting go of things like material gain or self-importance or the urge to dominate or control others. Indeed, instead, the Lord has new things in mind for his people. Well, we can read these verses in Isaiah with the benefit of hindsight, and we find parallels in the other prophets and in other scriptures, like, for example, in Jeremiah's promise of a time coming when the words of the Lord would be contained in new hearts and new minds. And we can see that the work of Jesus Christ was a new thing that shook people's certainties about who God was and how God acts. I mean, a Savior that lays down his life for his friend was not a very popular salvation idea among the nations. Even today, self-sacrifice doesn't make it onto the list of the seven secrets of a successful life. It's not a popular notion. But in so many ways, Christ is the new thing that God intended. And life in Christ is the new way to live. Christ is the new thing that God intended and intends. And life in Christ is the new way to live. And the poetry of Isaiah captures something of that new life as a pathway through the wilderness and a river in a dry wasteland. These are good metaphors for what new life means to us. We find refreshing in times of dryness, and we find a way forward where there appears to be no way forward. And one of the marks of this flowing, abundant life in Christ is generosity. The story of Jesus being anointed by Mary shows a great example of generosity. Now, Mary had reason to want to pour out her whole life into her Savior's arms and kneel at his feet. She had seen her brother Lazarus raised from the dead by Jesus not long before. That brother that she had lost was alive again. So her heart was full of thankfulness. She had reason to be generous. Remember that according to John, it was the raising of Lazarus that was the final straw for the teachers of the law. When that happened, they decided it was time to get rid of Jesus. So Jesus would have had every reason to try and stay out of the way for fear of his own life. But he doesn't do that. He makes himself vulnerable. He risks turning up again at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And so Mary takes this expensive perfume, and the word in the Greek is myrrh, as in frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And of course, myrrh, we know, is associated with preparing a dead body for burial. So Mary has kept this myrrh for the right time. She's bought it a while ago. And she's giving Jesus a sign that his burial is near. It's perhaps her last sacred act that she can do for her Lord. I was quite moved a couple of weeks ago by somebody in the Alpha course who works as a carer and sharing how special it is for her to spend those last moments of a person's life, and even once a person has died, to actually prepare the body, to wash the body with members of the family. And she spoke quite movingly about doing that as a sacred act, as something holy, as something otherworldly. And so here, in a sense, Mary is entering into that, doing what she can, the sacred act of worship, as she pours it on our Master's feet, and the atmosphere in the whole house is affected by the aroma. Hopefully you're smelling that incense today. And her generosity has a direct effect on the atmosphere, therefore. It brings a different smell. It's staggering. It's a staggering amount of money to waste on Jesus. We're told it costs 300 denarii, which is a year's wages. So maybe in today's money, that might be about £25,000. So who of us is at the point that we'd give £25,000 to such a cause if we had it? The world would say that that's not a wise use of money. But the scriptures tell us from old that a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Jesus quotes that scripture in his conversation with the rich man. What matters is a rich relationship with God more than anything else. And Psalm 112 says that good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, those who conduct their affairs with justice. It's important to be generous. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's not why we do it, but there is a payback, if you like. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. So generosity, we see, can help change atmospheres by bringing a different aroma to the proceedings. And of course, the contrary is also true. A spirit of meanness also brings a different aroma, a stench, a bitter stench. And there's always some Judas roundabout that will say it would have been better had that money had been given to the poor. Not that the Judas spirit cares for the poor. Meanness can also change the atmosphere. You can smell it as well. And though I believe that most followers of Jesus seek to be generous, I have heard that voice, that mean voice, in the church, and it can really quench the work of the Spirit. But I'm glad we're not like that here. I'm glad we're generous. And I'm glad that the infinite generosity of our God can swallow up all meanness. So I wonder what situations might be changed by generosity, whether our generosity or someone else's. Because remember that in the story, Jesus is the recipient of Mary's generous act. He's being blessed by her generosity. So maybe we need to think that there are times when we need to receive the generosity of others and receive it as a blessing to us. We mustn't always read the scriptures and come away thinking that we need to do more or we need to give more, although there will always be times when that is appropriate. Now, we might not have £25,000, But if anybody does speak to me afterwards, we might not have £25,000 to spend, but we each have talents, and we all have the same number of hours in a day. We can employ our gifts and our time generously in acts of worship to honor Christ. We can be the generous hands and feet of Christ. We can choose to be generous with our words. A kind word goes a long way to healing relationships and making them stronger. We can honor people and encourage them with the right word. So you have it in you to make a difference in this world. God has poured his infinite love into your heart. And so you have it in you to make a difference because Christ is in you. And Christ in you is the new thing that the prophets looked forward to and spoke about. Christ is the generous flow of love coursing through you. It's a self-emptying force of blessing. And it's a well springing up from within, which causes ordinary people to do extraordinary things, extravagant things, abundant things. So let's learn from Mary's extravagant act and keep on letting that infinite, generous love of Christ flow freely within us and out from us, whatever we do this week and always. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, that you've poured your spirit of love into our hearts. Make our hearts ever more open to the flow of your spirit as you pour yourself out. And help us, Lord, to give as we freely received. Help us to freely give and to bring glory and honor to you and see your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.